Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. St. Louis and Charles D'Angelo has made a national name for himself with his program helping people lose weight and reshape themselves and their lives. He's with us on today's program a little bit later. We'll also be talking about how women of color can reshape their working lives. Fact is, they have a tougher time cracking the glass ceiling at the corporate and other stages than other women do. There are obstacles to overcome at ground level before they move up. But there is an effort underway this week in St. Louis to help them bypass barriers. Joining me in studio are Lori Jackson, founder and president of Mosaic Ceiling. Mosaic Ceiling is a nonprofit organization established to empower women. Nicole Roach is Associate Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion and Senior Director for Community Engagement at Webster University. Ladies, thank you so much for being here. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Lori, let me start with you.
Yes.
What specific barriers are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about, well, Mosaic Ceiling was formed, as you stated, to advocate for women, breaking down barriers in six key areas. So wage gap, health, economic security, political leadership, entrepreneurship, and educational attainment. So we look at the wage gap in health. Those are the major components. The entrepreneurship and educational attainment, women of color exceed in those areas percentage-wise. But the health and wage gap, there's still a lot of work to be done.
Nikki, are we just talking about the corporate world now, or are we talking about a much broader area?
Oh, way much broader. It's across all industries, whether it's for-profit, non-profit, higher ed, education, you name it, there's work to be done. And as Lori was mentioning, the key areas that Mosaic Ceiling is focused on, however, some of those in barriers that are included consist of women of color not having influential mentors or sponsors, lack of informal or formal networking with influential colleagues, the lack of company role models who are members of their own race or ethnic group, and lack of high visibility special projects and assignments.
Lori, isn't this a situation, though, that exists for women of all ethnic backgrounds?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. When we look at the numbers, especially for wage gap, when we look at the numbers, the numbers are still alarming. And we have a long way to go because women will not reach pay equity until 2059. But for African-American women and Latina and Hispanic women, it's even longer than that. So another 100 years at least before pay equity is reached if we continue on the track that we're on.
Right. And consider, you have There's a study, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, when they talk about the income earned from employment, which mm-hmm. is the critical foundation for wealth accumulation as well as access to other things. Women of all races, as we know, earn less. Yes. However, when it comes to Latinas, they earn 54% of white males. African Americans, they are earning 64%. Of white male wages, and for white women, it's 78%. So that kind of puts it in perspective.
Did you want to say something, Blake?
Well, as Nikki indicated, if we were to get rid of the wage gap, women working full-time year-round will have enough money to pay for 89 more weeks of groceries. So that's about 2 years, 7 more months of mortgage and utility payments, more than 1 year of rent, and then, or more than 3,000 additional gallons of gas. Mm-hmm. So if we could get rid of the pay gap, there's some of the things that we would be able to solve, and that's our mission and goal, is to help break down those barriers.
And according to the numbers that I have in front of me here, by 2050, most women in the workforce are going to be women of color.
Yes, yes.
Which just really reinforces how important this is going to be.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, another thing that I noticed in the literature that preceded you is that quite a point is made that 64% of the women who are in jail or incarcerated are women of color. Why would you include this stat? Nikki, I'll turn to you. Why would you include this stat in your brochures?
I would include that stat because that's also part of our power, our influence in regards to making a difference. You had mentioned earlier about the glass ceiling that women face and that is preventing them from moving forward. Well, when it comes to women of color, we don't see the glass ceiling. It is a concrete ceiling for us. And that concrete ceiling meaning it's a dead end. There's nothing more to aspire to. There's nothing more outside of what it is that we currently have. And if that is the case, then sometimes those things that cause those numbers, when you mentioned the stats of those who may be imprisoned, those different barriers, let's, you know, just be honest, those different types of barriers have an influence on those opportunities that we do or do not have. Right now, the number one group that's enrolling in higher ed, because oftentimes we say, oh, maybe that group's not educated. Well, those who are who are enrolling in higher ed institutions by race and gender is the Black female. And with that, they are graduating at least enrolling, and they are getting that access to higher ed. Also, the numbers of business owners by African-American women grew 322% since 1977, making Black females the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in the United States. So we have all these dynamics going on. And yes, we would want to include those numbers, because if we are already setting trends in these different areas, just think how much more impact we could be making. But also, some of those individuals, it's not just by choice that they are there for some of them. However, if things could have been different, if there could have been a Lori in one of their presence, then possibly that outcome could have been quite different. Mm.
Of course, women who have been incarcerated, just as is the case with men, find it difficult to get a job at all when they come out. Yes. But Lori, this kind of a silver lining, as I see it. If entrepreneurship is up and there are more people being educated and getting the necessary education that's so necessary for advancement, this is something of a silver lining, isn't it?
Well, I would say it's a silver lining, but we still have to move the needle a little bit faster than what statistics show, because if we look at it, we're going backwards. We're not going forward in our numbers. And so we do have more education, and we do have more business, and we're more business owners. However, there's still that disparity there that we are pushing for to close the gap quicker.
What is the biggest obstacle, do you think, that the women we're talking about are facing?
The biggest?
Yeah.
It's so multi-layered.
Yes.
And multifaceted, yes. Depending on the situation. But I would say the one that just pops in my mind would be the mentoring and the coaching. Would be one of
early on. I would.
Yes. But also, definitely. Also, even when you arrive after you complete. I mean, I've talked to so many individuals, females of mm-hmm. color, and they're often asking, "How did you make it?" And for me, there is no make it. And even at this space in life, in this season of life, there's still need for mentorship and coaching, because you don't understand. We were just talking, Lori and I, and before coming on, that we are quick to say, okay, here's the diploma and here are my grades and everything is great. But there is a whole nother level of character and the politics and mm-hmm. the language and the resources, and that before you can even get access, you need to know how to talk the language. But if you're not taught that, it's not going to work.
Learning how to play the game.
Yes, exactly. And that's exactly what we talked about. We talked about earlier in our career, there was someone in that organization that took us under their wing and helped us get to that place. And so we must be able to reach back and pull someone up, and we have to continue to do that. And so that's critical.
Right. And it doesn't have to be the person. Yes, it is critical to have someone who reflects your race or identity, as mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier. However, for me, it was not just a person of the same race or same color, not even the same gender, but those individuals who saw something in me helped to bring out that which I couldn't even see at the time.
And Nikki, how did they do that? What specifically did they do?
It's the sitting down. It started off just sitting down, getting to know me as an individual, some of my interest, some of the things that I was currently working on, but also they went a step further to find out what made my heart beat faster. And that was that passion. And then they helped to guide me, which was giving me access to their network. There's several that male and female still currently, and even my boss, I consider my a mentorship currently. And I'm grateful for the different opportunities that have been offered for me to just see another space of what's going on in leadership. I have truly been in spaces that I would not have had access to, not even aware. Because oftentimes, you know, we have the book Lean In, but yes. How can you lean in if you don't know what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Is this what Mosaic Ceiling does?
Absolutely. This is exactly what we do.
And how?
And well, we actually, there are workshops where we have the panel discussion where we will be talking about the topics that we have. This is more for awareness. And then after that, we will continue with workshops and speaking to women groups and really actually empowering women, not just working with women of color, but really working with all women, bringing all women together and combining our resources so that we can start to move this needle, as I indicated earlier, faster for not just women of color, but all women. That's our goal.
You mentioned the panel discussion. I'll point out right here and now that the Breaking Down Barriers and Empowering Women of Color panel discussion is going to be happening this Thursday, May 25th at 6:30 p.m. at the Lee Auditorium at the Missouri History Museum. Right? Do I have all my facts correct on that?
Actually, next Thursday. Two weeks from now.
The 25th.
The 25th of May. Okay. That's correct.
Sorry about that. So it's a week from Thursday. 2 weeks from Thursday, and you're both going to be involved in that, correct?
That's
correct.
Yes. Who are you inviting to come?
Well, it's the panel discussion is open to all women. I've even had some men to reach out and say, can we attend? We really want to hear what are the concerns of women, what are some of the barriers that they're facing. So we've opened it to everyone to come. So we welcome everyone to the
men are still important, aren't they? Because they have so many of the play so many of the roles that hire and fire and mentor and do all the other things.
And advocate,
yes.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to take a break now. We'll do that, come back in a moment, and continue our conversation. We're talking about workplace advancement barriers to women of color. And my guests in studio are Lori Jackson, founder and president of Mosaic Ceiling. Nikki Roach is senior director for community engagement at Webster University. Back to continue the conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation on the workplace advancement barriers, if you will, to women of color. That in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. This is the final week of the Missouri legislative session. Several major bills still have not been sent to Governor Eric Reitens, including the lobbyist gift ban, the prescription drug monitoring program, and a change in the state's workplace discrimination law. And St. Louis is calling for bids to create a Chuck Berry Museum and Cultural District. This comes just a few weeks after the influential guitarist's death at the age of 90. The city is hoping to capitalize on his legacy to develop a tourist destination that both generates revenue and honors his contributions to culture and music in St. Louis. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Lori Jackson. Jackson and Nikki Roach. You mentioned some of the priorities that you have. Laurie, come back to you. And one of them is political involvement. Talk about that for a moment. What are you really saying there?
Well, we do not have enough representation of women of color in political leadership roles. And so that's one of the topics that we will be discussing at the panel discussion of how women can or should get involved and have more of a presence in the political leadership arena.
I guess that's really a very important step to because it's the politicians who make the laws and the regulations, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. And we need to have a voice and a seat at the table making those decisions, help to make those decisions as well.
Is this a tough nut to crack, the political world?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. I truly believe it is, yeah.
You're nodding, Nikki. You,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
I would say yes.
Well, then how do you crack it?
Education. Yeah. I believe education and understanding that some of the myths behind having our voices heard or not heard is what we think. Through this panel and through other programming and opportunities that Mosaic Ceiling will offer in the future, getting individuals to understand how collectively we can have impact and change. But if we don't say anything and don't show up when it is time for us to voice our opinions and our concerns, then we won't have the progress. The needle will continue to move backwards. But it's those systems that we need to actually make sure we are in the face of those and at those tables, as
Absolutely.
Laurie mentioned, mm-hmm. to make sure that change happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the techniques that are used in the workplace to stymie advancement?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, something is happening to discourage women of color or prevent women of color from moving up the ladder.
Well, I believe that, you know, women of color, as Nikki talked about, they come in with their degrees, they've had their degrees, yeah. They're so excited about starting their journey, and they will see a number of the isms, and they have not been professionally taught how to handle themselves to combat some of those isms like racism and sexism and things of that nature. So I have a class that I teach or a workshop. It's Book Bags of Briefcases, and it helps women transition from the college world to the corporate world. And it teaches them how to professionally handle themselves when they're faced with some of those isms. So I think that is a barrier where they get frustrated and it continues to chisel away at them and they lose hope. They just lose hope for ever really advancing in the organization.
We're talking about racial discrimination. I mean,
Yes, we have to call it what it is, yes.
Right,
yes.
And to build on, Laurie is dead on, and to build on that, there's, like she mentioned, there's multiple factors, including unconscious bias. Mm-hmm. There's that confidence gap, which is what you were just leading
yes.
up to, which then bleeds into imposter syndrome, and women of color are affected more by that, which is where you don't even if you're granted the opportunity, you don't even believe you are really qualified or skilled, mm-hmm. which knocks, again, we're back at that confidence and lack of, and then more. We can keep
yes,
going on and on.
Going on
like I mentioned earlier, not having mm-hmm. access or the chance to be a part of highly visible initiatives and different activities or committees and task force, and on and on. And these are all part of that concrete ceiling. Each one builds another brick, if
yes.
I could say that, you know.
But there are laws on the books as well that are supposed to keep this from happening. I mean, there's the Equal Employment Opportunity
Absolutely.
Commission. How can that be used? Or are people afraid to use that for fear there'll be some sort of recrimination?
I think so. I think people are afraid to use it, and I think we have to strengthen enforcement of state and national equal pay and equal employment opportunity. I encourage people to go back and review the revised Senate Bill 43, which there are a number of changes that's coming down the pipe for with regards to equal employment and those laws being enacted, or some changes I think that will long-term impact how if there is discrimination in the workplace again for pay and things of that nature, may not necessarily, may be more of a challenge for people to get those through the system. So I think it's important that we all read that bill, that Senate bill.
That's one that's actively in the hopper right now
yes.
in Jefferson
mm-hmm.
City.
Yes. Awareness is key. Awareness is very important. But not only that, it's we as women coming together to make this work, because it's real.
Right.
And the numbers are real.
Yes. And not just on, and that plays into that political awareness and education,
yes.
But also, flipping the script, there are some great things that are taking place. You know, you mentioned
yes.
the panel that's coming up
yes.
in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. I know even where I am during the day, 9 to 5, we have a new organization called the African Americans Women's Society. We also have the Muslim Student group, and I can go on and on with a number of different groups that have been brought together to help even on the student level to bring about awareness and education and give them a voice. And I think even corporations are getting very smart. You've got Motorola, mm-hmm. Xerox, IBM, all of them have
yes.
stepped back to say, okay, there is an issue. How can we tackle it? And someone has finally realized within some of the higher ed institutions as well as organizations that the needs of the women of color are different. So we have to show up different for them and give them different opportunities and resources to hear their voice, but also to equip them. I always say, a job isn't supposed to make you happy, but at the same time, if you want to keep good talent on board, you have to also groom them.
That's exactly true. Yes, absolutely true.
Let's talk for a moment about what the wage disparity means. I mean, that in and of itself identifies the problem, but we are talking about groups that very oftentimes maybe the only wage earner in a family.
Yes, that's
and,
true.
And then the retirement issues. I think of Lily Ledbetter and who
yes.
had this great fight and determined that how many tens of thousands of dollars she lost in retirement benefits because she wasn't making what men were making at the same level. So it really it permeates the whole social structure in these families, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And many of those women of color who are educated, who are working, they're still living off of wages that put them in the category of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And that data, there's data to sustain that statement as well, that even though educated, even though being the number one group of with entrepreneurship, it's still those individuals and those groups are still living at a poverty level. So there's like, again, back to that concrete ceiling, as well as this vicious cycle, how do we get out of it?
Well, I wanted to add that the Institute for Women Policy Research states, there are a number of bullets here, but this one I wanted to read. It says, providing equal pay to women would have a dramatic impact on their families. The poverty rate for all working women would be cut in half, falling from 8% to 3.8%. So the very high poverty rate for working single mothers would fall by half, nearly half, from 28.9% to 14.5%. So if we could eliminate this, the pay gap.
It seems to me that this is a substantial and significant point of argument with the politicians, because if we eliminate the level of poverty, then we eliminate a level of government expense mm-hmm. to fund programs for people who are in this particular category. Is there a group within the group, and let me rephrase this, is the largest group within the women of color that we're talking about African-American or Hispanic or Asian? Do we know?
It is African-American.
Okay. Yes. Yes, it's African-American.
Yeah. So this really starts at a much lower level. This starts at a society level that begins well in advance of any kind of workplace experience, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
So that seems like it's a place to start. And how do we do that?
Well, there are a number of things that we can do, especially from the workforce. I think on the workforce side, for companies, they can do better with conducting salary audits to make sure that there's no pay disparity between mm-hmm. amongst people of color or just with women, period, mm-hmm. within the organization. And then for women, I think, as Nikki talked about earlier, we talked about educating our women and then just teaching them how to negotiate a higher salary things of that nature. So, and then there are some other many things that we have in the pipeline that we will be talking to women and working with women to move to, as we indicated, and I'll keep using this because it's a term that I love, to move this needle, to move the needle faster. So, you know, we look at what at a quote, Proverbs, our scripture, Proverbs 31:8 says that we are to share, we are to open our mouths for the, to help the speechless. So that's what we're doing here is through Mosaic Seal, and we're helping those that cannot help themselves, that cannot be a voice for themselves.
You mentioned early on that one of the things you do is coach.
Yes.
That's different than mentoring. What do you coach? How do you coach? What does that involve?
Well, there's two things. The mentoring piece of it is just helping the woman. I've talked to a number of women that have come to me that have shared their stories about things that have happened to them within their career and their personal life, and just mentoring them. And the coaching piece of it is just as Nikki indicated earlier, that there was someone that took her under her wings and coached her to help her to get to the level that she needed to be at. Likewise, for me, I had someone that did the same thing for me, that took me early on in my career and taught me or coached me on the importance of understanding the politics of working in the workplace. And that's the only way to survive, is understanding politics and understanding how to play the game. So,
Nikki, how would you coach someone to negotiate a higher salary, for instance?
What's interesting, I have another offset from that, but I would have them, first of all, do homework. And that's one thing. A lot of times we think we just should have the more money or the more benefits just because, but not necessarily so. Research, do your homework, but also provide the level of accuracy in regards to your value added to that organization, to that department or unit. And then from there, then you can go and have that conversation. That way you have that backup to position yourself to be successful in that argument. But my flip side that I was mentioning, I even had to at one point go back to negotiate after agreeing to a salary. And it wasn't so much the salary. I was very excited about the opportunity. But I didn't realize, don't get so excited. You need to also make sure that this meets the proper needs and the proper salary. In this instance, I did not negotiate salary. I negotiated benefits, and not just health, vision, and all that. No, it was the benefits of professional development. It was the benefit of travel, membership to a professional organization, and more. And so there are different ways, and in that coaching and teaching, that is explained and shared.
And Lori, if you learn that your white counterpart doing the same job is making more money than you are, what do you do?
Well, you have a conversation with your manager or the person that is in control of making the decisions. That's where you would start.
I'm going to take one quick call before we have to move on. Jerry is joining us. Jerry, what's your question or comment, please?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Freakonomics Radio program on this station did an in-depth study on the wage gap. I believe it was last year. While there is a wage gap, it is nowhere near as significant as what is being discussed here and what's in the public discussion from the talking heads that are trying to tout it as being close to 10% in some cases. It's closer to maybe 2 or 3%. We may have some room to go, but what's being referenced just isn't what's accurate.
Okay, Jerry, thanks. Do you agree with Jerry, either of you?
I believe he was saying the percentage is lower than what we had mentioned. Mm-hmm. Well, not according to my check.
Right. No. Yes. yes.
It is higher than the 1 or 2%.
Yes.
All right. Is there a final thought you'd like to leave us with? We're going to have to move on. Laura, do you have we can certainly mention your event coming up on the 25th of May.
Yes. I encourage all women and men and our caller also, please feel free to attend the event. We would love to have you there. I think it's important that we come together as women and we move this needle faster than the statistics show, because we have to think about our daughters, our granddaughters, our great-granddaughters in the generations to come. So it's important.
Nikki, a final thought?
In order to make change for women of color, companies must zero in on the various topics and barriers that we mentioned and understand that when you're creating programs, there is no one size fits all. Make sure you do the assessment and to meet the need the best way you can.
All right. I want to thank you both, Lori Jackson and Nikki. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
That's Nikki Roach of Webster University. Coming up, we'll have Charles D'Angelo. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.